God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we've just got through celebrating a few days ago, the National Day of Thanksgiving, I always think back to my youth, and during the holiday times, one of the traditions we would have was to go to Grandma's house. And when we were at Grandma's house, everything was very well decorated. The smell of the food and the aroma in the house just filled your hearts as you just walked into it. You could see it, you could feel it, you could touch it, you could experience the love, the homey atmosphere. But I also remember that the table was very wonderfully set. That was the time in which Grandma would bring out the great china and also the wonderful silver. And it was so pretty and wonderfully decorated for the holidays. But being a typical little boy and every once in a while visiting Grandma on the weekends apart from the holidays, I noticed that when I would arrive there for a standard weekend visit, Grandma didn't bring out the china or the silver. And I would challenge her on that and saying, "Grandma, why don't you bring out the china and silver when I come and visit?" And she reminded me that the china and silver was designed for the special guests, the special holiday times when the whole family got together. Because we wouldn't want anything to happen to that china or silver. It required special care. So you only brought it out for certain holidays. Well, it is true that when certain important guests do come, we bring out the good china. We wouldn't want to bring out the cracked plates, the chipped cups, when important guests arrive, but the very best. We want everything to look grand on those special holidays, everything to look perfect and wonderful. And now, during this Advent time, it's a time in which, as Christians, we prepare for the special guest of all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So during this Advent season, it's a season of preparation, making sure that everything looks its best, preparing ourselves. And how do we prepare ourselves? Well, today's text, dealing with the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Isaiah, notes that God is the Father. God is that creator, and Isaiah uses the terminology that God is the potter, and we are the clay, the work of the Father's hands. So initially, God the Father created Adam and Eve perfectly, without sin, without any blemish at all. But then sin did appear. They chose to sin, and it sort of created a crack. If I can use that analogy of God being the potter, we being the clay, Adam and Eve being perfect, well, you could say that they were the very best china. But the crack of sin took over. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to superglue a plate? It doesn't work with cups. You know, if the cup chips or something. But plate, you can sometimes fudge a little bit. And what do you do with those chipped plates or those chipped mugs or those cracked plates? Well, typically, you put them on the bottom of the stack. They're the last ones to be used. Hopefully, they'll never get used. Or you put them in the back of the cupboard. Put them out of the way. You would never serve them to important guests. You'd want to bring out the very, very best. Well, in our own lives, doing this comparison here, the sin of our lives chips and cracks us. And our lives are ruined. And just like no one enjoys seeing the very best china chipped and cracked, accidents do occur. And that's why my grandma told me we only bring them out on special occasions. And heaven forbid if one of the grandchildren would go into the china cabinet and start tossing the china plates around like frisbees. Then we would definitely endure the wrath of Grandma. You had to be careful with it. Isaiah picks up on that concept. Consider the Father's wrath as His people deliberately sin and break themselves, sort of chip themselves purposely. In Isaiah chapter 64, the second part of verse 5, "But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved?" How then do you save that best china plate that's been chipped or cracked? Superglue really doesn't cut it. And putting it in the back out of the way isn't necessarily the best answer either. And living in the disposable society that we do, heaven forbid, God would throw us out with the trash and replace us with someone else. Isaiah must have had similar thoughts, because according to our text, Isaiah gave us a little bit of a clue of what God the Father was going to do. At the first part of our text, he begins, "You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, from of old is your name." The concept of the Redeemer, the one who buys us back, the one who makes us whole again. Verse 17 picks this up again when he says, "Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance." The implication is that, yes, God is going to return. He is going to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil, and we will be restored. Noting that we are the clay and that he is the potter, Isaiah petitions for the great potter to return for the sake of the inheritance. But how does God return us? Not with super glue. Our Heavenly Father has a way of restoration. Not by repairing, not by replacing, thank heavens, but by restoration. Strangely enough, a washing. Not a washing in the dishwasher. My grandmother would have never put china in the dishwasher. It had to be washed by hand. But not with a washing with soap and water, but as Titus chapter 3 verse 5 picks up, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the potter, repairs us, not by anything we have done, but by what he has done through the Holy Spirit. A regeneration, a renewal. And that renewal takes place when we were baptized. The gift of holy baptism. Baptism which receives the gift of faith given to us through the Holy Spirit. That faith that trusts in the promises of God. That faith that trusts in God taking on human flesh and blood, being born in Bethlehem, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, whose death upon the cross on that Good Friday appeased the Father's wrath of our brokenness because of sin and the chips that our sinfulness incurs, and now restores us. Restores us to the point of being good and perfect. Now we can be considered the good china because we are restored. We may remember the familiar passage that likes to be quoted, especially in Lutheran circles, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And this first two passages here is the concept of restoration. Then we become the good china. But let me add the 10th verse. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, after we have been restored, and that's after we've been restored, after we've now been declared to be the good china, so to speak, now God has a purpose for us. Not the china that comes out once or twice a year, but now this good china is now, you could say, resistant to chips and cracks. It will not break apart because of the faith given to us through holy baptism. So now, if you had china that could not be destroyed in any way, would you use it every day? Or would you only save it for special occasions? If it required no extra work than the everyday normal plates, why wouldn't you want to use it every day? So it is with us. You see, God wants to use us each and every day, not just at Christmas time when we start feeling like we're a little bit more like Christians, or at Easter time, but every day. Basically, how does God use us? Through the concept of good works. Let me read to you a section from a brief statement about good works. It goes like this. Before God, only those works are good which are done for the glory of God and the good of man. According to the rule of the divine law, such works, however, no man performs unless he first believes that God has forgiven him his sins and given him eternal life by grace for Christ's sake without any works of his own. And there's a reference to John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, which says, Jesus is speaking, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Again, Jesus reiterates this concept. The concept that, yes, we need to be attached to God in order to bear fruit. Like the plate analogy, we need to be restored in order for us to be utilized. And as Christians, we say we are restored. We believe and trust in the Jesus, the Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins. And now we are to be utilized for good works. Not just once or twice a year, but every day. Let me continue reading in this brief statement about good works. It goes on to talk about some of the errors that may occur with the concept of good works. It says, "We reject as a great folly the assertion frequently made in our day that works must be placed in the fore, which is the forefront, and faith and dogmas, meaning the gospel of Christ crucified for the sins of the world, must be regulated to the rear." Basically, the section here that Pieper is writing about is reminding us that, yes, our faith must be number one. It must be in the forefront. We must remember the forgiveness of sins. That's how we are attached to Christ. And then good works are a result of it. It must be that order of priority. He continues and says, "Since good works never precede faith, but are always, and in every instance, the result of faith in the gospel, it is evident that the only means by which we Christians can be rich in good works, and God would have us be rich in good works, as Titus chapter 2, verse 14 reminds us, he who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do," and the concept is eager to do what is good. So basically, we go back to God's Word. We are reminded of the restoration, and in one essence, we should be eager to be utilized every day, not just on Christmas or Easter, not just when the family gets together, not just when important guests or visitors arrived. So during this time of Advent, we prepare ourselves. We remind ourselves that too often we're like that good china that sort of sits there in the cupboard, starts getting all dusty and dirty, and is only utilized once or twice a year. We're reminded of our own sinfulness, our chips, our cracks, and our flaws. And we're reminded that God, yes, has restored us, has given us the forgiveness of sins. And once we are restored, God says, "I want to utilize you." Not just once or twice a year, but every day to show off that beautiful restoration that God has accomplished. And the only way that the best way for us to be utilized for that is through good works, to be utilized every day. So keeping with our concept of our theme for today, we ask the Lord to utilize his good china that he has restored in us every day. Likewise, as we go back, as we leave church, as we take with us God's grace, his gifts of wisdom, and that faith that he has so lavishly given to us, we are reminded that God wants to use us every day. He has truly restored us. So this is why we prepare ourselves during the season of Advent. We remind ourselves what God has so graciously done for us. And yes, the special guest and visitor is coming. So we ask the Lord to continue to use us as we prepare ourselves for the birth of the Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in his name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.